Archer, archerradio.com. Today is Thursday, September 7th, 2006. And Apple surprised me on Tuesday by, you probably heard my show on, well, if you did, of course you did. Wednesday, you heard that I was talking about Apple doing a special event next Tuesday on the 12th to release new products and possibly the movie thing. Well, on Wednesday, yesterday, Apple surprised me and they introduced the new updated iMacs. And they have included the, they changed the chip to the, what is it, the, I don't even know what it's called. It's the Intel Core 2 Duo, which either you can, well, I should, okay, let me clarify. Apple introduced new iMacs yesterday, and there are three new, well, not three. All right, I'm totally fucking this up. Okay, there's a 17-inch, there's a 20-inch, and there's a 24-inch iMac. And they upped the chips to the Intel Core 2 Duo, and you can get them at starting at, I believe it's 2.16 megahertz and all the way up to 2.33 megahertz. And the 24-inch iMac is huge. It's actually, it looks really huge. And it's got a lot of new gizmos with it. Well, not new. It's got the same kind of stuff. But I think it has, what is it? The, okay, I'm going to the tech specs. Because I think they added a FireWire 800. Let me see. I'm trying to look for that. Where is the communications display? Where's the ports? Don't they usually do the ports? I don't see that. Well, I don't know. I wish I could see what that is. But anyway, you can get the... Actually, the 17-inch comes in the 1.83 gigahertz. And then the 20-inch and the 24-inch come in either the 2.0 gigahertz or the... Oh, fuck. I don't know. Okay, the point of this conversation is that I ordered a new computer. I ordered it as soon as I got home yesterday. I ordered the 24-inch iMac with the Intel Core 2 Duo chip running at 2.33 gigahertz. And I got the 500 gigabyte hard drive. I got 2 gigabytes of RAM. I got the SuperDrive 8X, DVD-R, you know, so forth and so on. And I got the upgraded graphics chip, the NVIDIA GeForce 7600 GT 256 megabytes SD RAM. Isn't that crazy? And the thing was fucking expensive, too. It's costing me $2,700. But I think it's going to be well worth it because, as I was telling you on yesterday's show, my iMac is 2 years old. Although it works just fine, I noticed that it is slowing down certain tasks that I give it to do. But, now I am very excited about the new 24-inch iMac, and I might use this one to play movies. I don't really know, but I mean, I'm so excited about getting it. Of course, this was a week earlier than I was expecting it to be announced, but I wonder if Apple did this because there was so much stuff flying around the internet about they just went ahead and introduced it today instead of waiting till next Tuesday. So they must be doing something major next Tuesday if they're doing the IMAX today and, you know, something big next Tuesday. I think it's going to be the movie, the selling of movies on iTunes. Anyway, I know I'm like been crazy with Apple for the last 2 days, but now you know I have a new iMac coming with a much faster processor, lots of RAM, huge hard drive, all the goodies on it. Actually, I think it's the top-of-the-line one, except I could have maxed out the RAM and gone for the 3 gigabytes, because now they can up the RAM to 3 gigabytes, but I don't think I need that much. Right now, my iMac is running at 1 gigahertz. I mean, 1 gigabyte of RAM, so I think that's enough. So that's the big news, that I'm getting a new computer, and it says it'll ship in 5 to 7 days, and then it will take another 5 days for it to reach me, so we'll see how it goes. And, of course, I'm getting the iLife 06 pre-installed, and I went ahead and got the iWork 06, which has the pages and what's that? What do they call the, Keynote, which I don't really use so much, but I have started to use Pages more. Now, what was I going to say about the iMac? Well, let's go to the Apple Store and see what the configurations are that you get. Well, of course, I go to the Apple Education Store because I get a discount. It's not actually a very big discount, but it's enough to like pay for the taxes or whatever. Oh, the shipping's free. So let's see. Let me clarify this. Oh, there are two 17-inch models. One will run at the 1.83 gigahertz, and the other one will run at the 2.0 gigahertz. And for the education customers, they start as low as $899. That's pretty amazing. And then the 20-inch is the one that goes for 2.16 gigahertz, and the 24-inch is the one that you can upgrade to the 2.33 gigahertz, which is what I chose to do. And it has the built-in AirPort Extreme and the Bluetooth 2.0. I think that's all. I mean, the display just looks huge. Granted, it's only 4 more inches. And, you know, here's the thing I just realized. I just paid $500 for 4 more inches of viewable space on the screen. I think that might be a little extreme, but well worth it. Now, all right, I'm going to stop talking about Apple, but of course, once the computer comes in and I'm starting to create podcasts with it, you will be hearing more about that. I wanted to mention that we got an awful lot of comments for one show today. Yesterday's show was only 20 minutes long, like 23 minutes long, but yet we got 4 comments from it. We got a comment from Diane, who is from, what is her homepage? It is tastyjewelry.com. And you can check that out in the comments part of yesterday's show. But let me read this, because some people don't even go to the website. So let me read this comment from Diane. Diane writes, "Hi, Archer. I'm a new listener coming to you from Remarkably Mark and Wanda Wisdom, an online podcast. I just love your show. I wanted to comment about your observation regarding The View. Remember I talked about Rosie starting on The View yesterday? Well, she writes, I had read it somewhere that Rosie was brought in to replace the moderator position that Meredith Vieira had. So that might explain why she seems to be sort of leading everyone around the topics. I'm sure that's why she's sitting in the same spot too, even though it's not flattering for her figure. Not to mention that it's better that she's furthest away from the Christian Coalition cunt, Elizabeth, too. Just thought I'd share that with you, share what I had heard to clear up any questions that you had about that. Thanks for sharing your everyday with us. You rock. XO Diane." Diane, thank you so much. That is so cool. First of all, I am so glad that you're a new listener from Remarkably Mark, Wanda, and John Ong, because we often get listeners on the same podcast, but not many speak up. So thank you, Diane, for speaking up. That's so nice of you. And you know what? You are absolutely right about her taking the position that Meredith Vieira had. I mean, the thing is, I knew that way back when they were first talking about replacing her. Excuse me, but I didn't make the connection yesterday when I was watching the show that, yeah, she is in that moderator position, and that's why she's kind of leading everybody through the Hot Topics section. So you're absolutely right. Now, I don't know if you watched it on Wednesday's show, but she still wore black, but she wore a coat to kind of cover up those rolls that she has when you see her sitting on the side. So I don't know if you noticed that or not, Diane, or even if you watch it. But yeah, so Diane, thank you so much for that comment on the website. That's so cool. Okay, moving along. Then we got a comment from Adam, and Adam was talking. Was saying that I'm going to start calling you Mike TV. How do you find the time to watch all this television and podcast? Well, Adam, I don't know how I find the time, but I tend to have the TV on while I'm doing other things. So if I bring home a lot of schoolwork or if I'm surfing the web or whatever, I have the TV on watching these shows. Excuse me. And when it's Big Brother, I watch it live as much as I possibly can, because I like to, you know what's going on right away. And then he goes on to say, "I don't think that Apple is going to make a foray into the cellular service industry. Therefore, I wonder if the Apple phone will be available in GSM and CDMA. It would be great if it were both, so everyone could get it. You are a real Mac addict." Yes, Adam, I am a real Mac tech. And by the way, this is Adam from This Boy Elroy, whose little video cast I'm totally enjoying. Did you see the last one where he, like, sped up the picture and stuff. That was really cool. Good job, Adam. Adam, I don't really know what GSM or CDMA, what they stand for. I think the GSM, is that like Global Positioning Satellite or something? Or Global, I don't know. I don't know what it stands for. So I don't know if Apple would go that way or not. That's interesting. Plus, I don't know what those things stand for, so I really don't know. I can't comment on that. But I think you're right. They probably won't go into their own cell service. They'll probably just sell it through, like, Verizon or one of the other big service providers. I'm not sure. Well, I guess we'll find out eventually. So thank you, Adam, for the comment. And I suggest everybody check out This Boy Elroy's website and a podcast and videocast, because they're really cool, especially the videos. Those are really cool. Anyway, we got another comment from Michael from the QCast Connecticut, the new podcast I'm listening to, and he says, "Okay, you've convinced me. I just checked out America's Boy from the Library." Well, Michael, that is so cool that you checked it out. Now, listen, what you're going to have to do is we should have like a little book club and talk about the book as we're reading it, or at the end of after reading it, because that would be, you know, like Wanda tried to start a book club, and they've talked about books on her show. And I've been talking about having a gay book club forever, but it's never come to fruition. So, Michael, when you finish reading the book, or if you want to talk about it while we're reading it, let me know. And we'll definitely have to set up a time to talk on Skype. I've been on Skype the last 2 days, and I haven't seen you, so we'll have to figure out a time, okay? Cool. Okay, and then the last comment that, as of this recording, is from Lane O. And Lane O says, "Hey, Archer, one of the things I enjoy about your show is your intro music. I look forward to every new podcast so I can sing along, even though it's just two words." Well, you know what, Lane? I do the same thing. When I'm doing the editing and I put the music in there, I actually sing along to it as I'm listening to it, you know, be put in there. So, and you know what, Lane? You can thank John Ong, because he created that music for me, as he's been doing for other podcasters. So, thank you for that, Lane. And then Lane goes on to tell me, she says, I think it's a she, or maybe Lane is a male. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. Anyway, Lane goes on to say, "If you really want to get a heads up on the Apple phone, may I suggest phonescoop.com. They look at FCC filings and post a lot of the info before the companies release it to the public." Excellent source, Lane. Thank you very much. And Adam, for asking about the GSM and CDMA, that website, PhoneScoop, might be the place to go to check that out. So, and of course, so go to the comment section on yesterday's show, and you will be able to click on those links. And the other people who have websites there have their links in the comment section, so go check them out. And actually, you know what I'm going to do right now is click on Diane's Tasty Jewelry and see what kind of jewelry that is. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with that. It's tastyjewelry.com. Okay, so she sells her jewelry. Oh, okay. I'm not a big jewelry fan, but if there are some women out there who like jewelry, there's a back-to-school sale, 20% off. And you know what? She's got a My Chingo system on her website. Very cool. Okay, you guys, check out tastyjewelry.com. That is very cool. Okay, so those are all the comments we got from yesterday's show, which I really do find amazing that I did a simple 23-minute show of me just yakking about, you know, stuff on TV and then Apple, and I got 4 comments when the day before when I was talking about the book I was reading didn't get any comments. So, I don't know, I guess it comes in waves, but interesting nonetheless. So, I'm actually hoping to chat with somebody here on Skype, but everyone seems to be busy, so I think we will take a little break and we will come back in just a second.
Morning tonight from Washington.
Good evening. At the White House today, a stunning announcement. President Bush acknowledged for the first time that the CIA has had a program to hold Al-Qaeda suspects for interrogation in secret prisons outside the U.S. As of today, he says the 14 most dangerous Al-Qaeda suspects, among them the alleged mastermind of 9/11, have been moved out of those prisons, transferred from CIA to military custody. There is much more to this story, and we're going to start with our chief White House correspondent, Martha Raddatz. Martha?
Charlie, the CIA has been holding some of these detainees for more than 4 years, but the White House now says they are no longer providing vital information, and the president wants them brought to justice.
In the most dramatic way possible, the president today explained why it was necessary for the CIA to secretly hold these detainees.
These are dangerous men with unparalleled knowledge about terrorist networks and their plans of new attacks. The security of our nation and the lives of our citizens depend on our ability to learn what these terrorists know.
The 14 detainees who have now been transferred to Guantanamo Naval Base are some of the most notorious in the world. Among them, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, thought to be the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, Ramzi bin al-Shib, an operational planner of the attacks, and Abu Zubaydah, one of Osama bin Laden's right-hand men.
I can say that questioning the detainees in this program has given us information that has saved innocent lives by helping us stop new attacks.
A senior administration official said half of all the information the U.S. has obtained about al-Qaeda came from these detainees.
Many specifics of this program, including where these detainees have been held and the details of their confinement, cannot be divulged. Doing so would provide our enemies with information they could use to take retribution against our allies and harm our country.
But why, if, as they say, the program was so successful, are they transferring the detainees to Guantanamo now? In June, the Supreme Court struck down the president's plan for military tribunals, finding the tribunals would violate military and international law. So today, the president sent legislation to Congress on how these men could be tried while still protecting classified material. When he made that announcement today before some of the 9/11 families, the president became emotional.
These prosecutions, we will send a clear message to those who kill Americans, no longer how long it takes. We will find you and we will bring you to justice.
The president also said today that even though they are no longer holding any detainees, the CIA program will continue. And one final point, Charlie, the White House said today that these detainees provided the largest single source of information about al-Qaeda. Essentially, that source has dried up.
All right, Martha Raddatz reporting down here at the White House. Well, our chief investigative correspondent, Brian Ross, has reported for the past year on these overseas prisons. They were carefully guarded secrets in undisclosed locations that gave the CIA wide latitude in how it interrogated prisoners. And Brian is joining us now from New York. Brian?
Charlie, the super secret CIA operation was described by the president as tough but necessary, responsible for stopping al-Qaeda plots around the world. One of the most significant targets, the tallest building in Los Angeles, known as the Library Tower. A former CIA official says it was to be hit by a hijacked aircraft.
This was a serious plot. This was certainly well beyond the level of aspiration.
But intelligence sources say the CIA's ability to capture and break the 14 al-Qaeda leaders stopped the plot against the Library Tower and more than a dozen others, including a hijacking at London's Heathrow Airport, an attack on the U.S. consulate in Karachi, Pakistan, and a proposed anthrax attack.
This program has been and remains one of the most vital tools in our war against the terrorists.
The president described how the CIA produced a cascading series of arrests, starting with the first of the captured al-Qaeda leaders, Abu Zubaydah. Zubaydah had refused to cooperate until the CIA used what the president called an alternate set of interrogation procedures.
Zubaydah was questioned using these procedures, and soon he began to provide information on key al-Qaeda operatives.
That led the CIA to one of the plotters of the 9/11 attacks, Ramzi bin al-Shib, taken into custody in Pakistan. He, too, was subjected to the CIA's procedures and quickly broke, giving up the location of his al-Qaeda boss, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, known as KSM, the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks.
Once in our custody, KSM was questioned by the CIA using these procedures. And he soon provided information that helped to stop another planned attack on the United States.
The president would not reveal the CIA's interrogation procedures, but CIA officers have told ABC News they involve six escalating steps, ending in what's known as waterboarding, demonstrated here, where prisoners are made to feel they are drowning. Human rights groups call it torture, but the president disagreed.
The United States does not torture. It's against our laws and it's against our values. I have not authorized it and I will not authorize it.
From the point of view of officers and agents in the field, the secret prisons and interrogation procedures have permitted them to get time-sensitive information from some very vicious men who did not want to give it up, Charlie.
All right, Brian Ross, as I say, who's been on this story for the past year, thanks, and we're going to turn...
Well, you just heard from that clip that Bush announced that the secret CIA prisons were actually... in reality, happening in different places around the world, and they were holding detainees and getting lots of information, but it turns out that they have the information has run dry, and now he wants to move them, and he's going to move them to Guantanamo Bay and try to get Congress to write some legislation so that they can hold them accountable and you know, put them on trial. You know what? The only thing I want to say about that is, duh, surprise, surprise, the CIA has secret prisons. Let's not delude ourselves to think that they didn't have prisons, because they certainly did have prisons. And, you know, I heard yesterday about the whole John Lennon thing, that he always felt that he was being watched by the CIA, and then it was announced that, in fact, he was being watched by the CIA, and they wanted to get him out of the country so he wouldn't... you know, have influence over the election in, when was it, 68? Something like that? Or 72? I'm not sure. I don't remember when. But anyway, it's no surprise to me that the CIA has secret prisons. And, you know, the country, or I should say, the government, knows more about people than you would think. And they are finding out more and more every day. But Bush went on to say, well, I don't need to rehash the whole news segment that you just heard, but... the fact that he says that they don't do torture is just bullshit, because of course they do torture. How do you think they got that information out of those 14 detainees? Right, of course, doing the water torture thing and all that crap. So don't believe it. Don't believe the shit you hear. You know, question it. Anyway, moving on to other news things. The little news clip that I just played says it all, so you don't need to hear it from me. But other things in the news, I heard on the news that in Japan, the royal family now has a male heir to the throne. So we can be rest assured that for the next, 50 years or so, they will have a male heir to the throne, and the Japanese royal family will continue. However, I think that this is not, he's not a direct heir to the throne, like he's number three in line, because there are still two males alive, like, because the two sons of the emperor right now, and the number one son didn't have any boys, he had a girl, and has been unable to, produce a son, so it was the second son in the royal family who was able to produce a boy, and now they have an heir to the throne, so good for them. And, you know, I don't know who anybody cares about that, but I just heard about that. But actually, speaking of that baby, having a boy baby, I saw on the popular news today that the pictures of Suri, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' baby, were released in Vanity Fair. And did anybody else see those pictures? That baby has a full head of hair. The first thing I thought of was, oh my God, that is going to be one hairy girl when she gets older. Because she had a full head of hair. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, that's enough about that. I don't like to talk about shit like that. Plus, Tom Cruise is crazy. Anyway, the last thing I wanted to talk about was, or just mention, was on the news they talked about Saint Michael Judge, who was the first casualty in the 9/11 Twin Towers bombing thing. And there's a documentary coming out, or movie coming out on Friday about today or Friday about Father Michael Judge, and how they want people who are trying to get him to be a saint or to be sainted. But anyway, my question was, I remember back in when this happened and they talked about how he was the first casualty and how he was there on the grounds. They showed footage of him, you know, trying to comfort and console all the firefighters actually in the towers when it was happening, and that at the time I thought that I had heard that he was gay. Now, maybe someone out there can correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't he gay? I don't really remember, but tell me if he was. But anyway, they're going to try to make him a saint, and you know, that'll be interesting. So anyway, all right, boys and girls, I think I've talked enough for today. Tomorrow we do have a special show. We have a special guest. We have Michael from the QCast Connecticut podcast, and we get to learn more about him and find out about his podcast and stuff like that. So I suggest you tune in tomorrow to listen to the show with Michael from QCast Connecticut. And if you don't listen to a show, you should be, so check it out before the interview so that you'll know what he's all about. Anyway, and then don't forget, on Friday we are having the as of this moment, definitely we are doing the Skype cast call at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And go to the Skype cast homepage and look for Archer Radio and click to join the Skype cast. And when you see me on Skype Friday night, don't call me. Don't call me, but send me an instant message and I will give you the directions on how to get into the Skype cast. All right, boys and girls, so that's all for today. I'm sorry about that long clip, but, you know, as I always say, the news describes the Bush crap more than I can. So anyway, all right, boys and girls, until next time, bye. Archer Radio.